Coming up on Three and Out.
I'm back, baby!
The Broncos return to work after getting some much-needed rest.
Anytime you play 10 weeks in a row in this business, you're going to be beat up. You're going to have things going on with your team. It's kind of a chance to regroup your football team.
Being healthier than they've been in a long time, the team turns its sights to the home stretch.
Every game going to be big for us coming up, and we're just going to take it one game at a time and try to finish.
It's the day before Thanksgiving, so save some room.
Thanksgiving has got to be your favorite holiday, right?
Why, because I have a big belly?
Three and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and thank you for joining us for a Thanksgiving edition of the show. Cue the turkey noise. There it is. Well, we have plenty to talk about, so let's get things started with First Down. Here with Matt Boyer now, and Matt, Broncos coming off of a bye week, 21-6 all-time following the bye, 15-3 all-time at home. It came at a really good time, too, because they're battling some injuries.
Well, yeah, you think about all the guys they lost before the bye week. Derek Wolfe goes down with an injury. They lose. Well, they didn't lose Andy Janovich. He did have an injured hand. Aqib Talib's back wasn't where it needed to be. Now, after a week of rest, we've seen Derek Wolfe back at practice. We've seen Aqib Talib back on the field. He, of course, saying, "I'm back, baby," yesterday. So,
yes.
You know, he's really excited about getting back on the field, and I think his teammates are very excited about having him.
We also saw Trevor Siemian throwing out there after he had that injection. One thing that Kubiak said was he liked his team's mentality. They looked fresh out there. What did you see from them on Monday?
I thought they did look fresh. I thought they looked rejuvenated, and the Broncos have had a great history of coming back from a bye week and playing some of their best football. Think about last year. That Green Bay game was arguably the best game the Broncos had during that regular season run. And we'll see what happens this week against the Chiefs. But I do think that the Broncos do have a history as far as coming back off the bye week. Haven't lost since 2009 coming off a bye week. So
yeah, Gary Kubiak liked what he saw from his team on Monday. And it couldn't have come at a better time.
We're at full strength at practice today for the first time probably in 10 weeks, you know, so other than Matt not being out here. So, you know, that's a good thing, and you could just tell. I mean, we were competitive, you know, we weren't trying to rest 10 guys and get through a Wednesday or a Thursday practice. We were back at a, you know, competitive situation.
It's time for Second Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, while the Broncos are getting healthier, the Chiefs have some injury concerns after their 5-game winning streak was snapped last week.
Yeah, they have some injury concerns. Still a dangerous team in spots, and you know, they have injury concerns, but they can expect Travis Kelce out there on Sunday, and I think that he's probably the biggest threat from the Chiefs' offense right now. He's on pace for career highs in receptions and receiving yardage, and has given the Broncos some problems in the past, and we know about the Broncos' recent problems with covering running backs and tight ends downfield. So, you know, the Chiefs, they're a banged-up team right now, but as long as the Alex Smith to Travis Kelce combination is working, they're a threat, and even Chris Harris Jr. said Monday that Kelce's really the biggest threat and the one that can cause the most problems.
Yeah, the injury concerns, Jeremy Maclin, he's missed 2 games. Marcus Peters missed that game last week, but like you said, Mace, they're still a dangerous team. What have you seen from Alex Smith this season?
Well, not the same Alex Smith that he's been the last couple of years, quite frankly. Numbers are down. Teams, I think, are really playing to his tendency to go short and intermediate. I looked at some of the things that the Bucs did defensively on Sunday, and the Bucs, they're not a great defense by any stretch of the imagination, but really did a good job of getting their hands up and, you know, forcing Alex Smith to throw in directions he didn't want to. You'll get their end zone interception. It's deflected at the line of scrimmage, and I think that actually plays into the Broncos' strengths because you're going to see Jerick Crick and Derek Wolfe in particular, you know, assuming Derek Wolfe plays, he was practicing on Monday, get their arms up, and I think they can cause the same kind of distractions and obstructions for Alex Smith as the Bucs did.
Yeah, Alex Smith's numbers across the board are down this season, yet both teams are 7-3 heading into Sunday's game. The Broncos are expecting another tough division matchup.
Well, I've been watching Kansas City for 2 weeks personally, you know, so, but it's our division opponent, so we don't even have to watch them that much, man. They know what we're going to do. We know what those guys going to do. So it'll just be a dog fight.
They good running backs, good passing game to the tight ends and the running backs. So it's going to test us as outside linebackers and inside linebackers to cover those guys. And, like, in a run game, like, we had trouble with that so far this year. We got better with it 2 weeks ago, so we're going to try to build on that and just try to keep it going.
It's time for Third Down, and now we're joined by the Ben Swanson, and we're talking about the home stretch here. Six games left, and there's pretty much six playoff games for the Broncos.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule. A couple road games still left on the slate. A lot of home games, but those home games are against playoff teams. So it's a tough record going down here. Obviously, it's a very important schedule coming up, division games. The positioning here is key. And if you need an example, just look back to last year. Six games left, began with that New England game at home.
Huge. Yeah, if the playoffs started today, the Broncos would be in the sixth spot. Hard to believe that 7-3 is just good enough for the sixth spot, but the AFC West is so tough.
I mean, it'd be crazy if the playoffs started today.
That'd be crazy
really
anyway.
Soon. I'd be completely
a little bit early, yeah.
Blindsided by that. But yeah, it's a tough division, tough conference, and right now this is the time when you need to be shaping up that spot. Last year, the Broncos were able to overcome a couple losses in those last six games, Pittsburgh, and then before that to the Raiders, yeah. So it's good to have that momentum, but really it's all about positioning. You want that first round bye, you want to win the division, and that's key at this point.
Yeah.
The momentum is also key, but more than that is position.
Well, the good thing for the Broncos is that they still control their own destiny. And with six games left, it's time for the contenders to start to separate themselves, something the Broncos are accustomed to.
We just know this is our time when we got to turn up another notch. This is our time where a lot of teams fall off and they can't continue to stay on that ride and continue to get better, but this is when we know we got to turn our game up another notch.
I think we love playing in big games, and you know these next six games for us, they're all huge, they're all big, and like you said, we're in control of our own destiny. So if we can keep our foot to the pedal and stay on our grind, we'll get it done.
It's time for Fourth Down and your Twitter questions. I heard they're a little bit zany this week, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. First, a quick word from American Financing. When we come back, we'll be joined by our interns extraordinaire. Turns out I've been saying that wrong the whole season. Interns extraordinaire, not intern extraordinaires. We'll be right back.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
We're back here on 3 and Out. We've got some hard hitters for you guys in today's fan questions. I'm Caroline Disley.
And I'm Eric Dallala. Let's get right to it. A lot of questions this week from our coworkers. Maybe they should get back to work. First from Daniel Gonzalez, who first says, hope you guys never get tired of my questions. We definitely do not, Daniel. But he wants to know, could CJ Anderson be back before the playoffs? Matt, what do you think?
Well, it's one of those things where I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen the x-rays or the MRIs, and I'm not going to speculate on when CJ Anderson could return. I will say, though, that the Broncos have gotten really good signs as far as Devontae Booker playing well, Capri Bibbs playing well. I think Andy Janovich, you saw him against the Saints. They threw him a pass, and he had a cast on his hand, still made the catch. So I think there have been a lot of positive signs for the Broncos in the backfield. CJ Anderson is definitely missed as far as a leadership role is concerned. You know, I think that young backfield does like it when CJ's there to kind of guide them through, you know, this is this look, this is this play. I think that he's done a great job in leading that young backfield, but as far as the progress of those young guys, Booker, Bibbs, and Janovich, I think they're coming along very well. And when they do get Anderson back, whether it be at the end of the regular season, maybe the playoffs, we don't know, I think the Broncos are going to be in very good shape for that postseason run if Anderson does, in fact, make it back.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the insight. Caroline?
This one comes from our very own Scott Ward. I don't know if you've seen Bill Walton's Twitter timeline this week, but you need to check it out. He wants to know, see a great announcer or the best announcer? Mace, what do you think?
Well, there's only really one way to answer this question, and it's by looking back at what may be the nexus of the basketball universe. I'm talking about the 1974 Final Four. Of course, Bill Walton played for UCLA then. He was there. You had Norm Sloan leading NC State. They beat UCLA in, I believe it was double overtime of the semifinals that year. Norm Sloan used to wear this ridiculous plaid jacket, you know, very colorful, very, you know, not something you'd see in college basketball today. Very colorful team that had David Skywalker Thompson, the best professional basketball player in Denver history. I will not argue this. Sorry, Carmelo. David Skywalker Thompson is better. Also in that Final Four, you had Marquette. Al McGuire used to speak of seashells, balloons, bare feet, wet grass, thought of the game in, you know, very non-traditional terms. And then Kansas kind of filled out the field and was just there because you had to have a fourth Final Four team. All of that was there. So you had Al McGuire and Bill Walton. They were in the same place at the same time. Al McGuire, of course, has been passed away for 15 years now, very non-traditional thinker. Bill Walton is a very non-traditional thinker. I think someone like Al McGuire would be very proud of Bill Walton going, you know, off target, off tangent, going all over the place. So I say, great announcer.
He's bare-chested, but there he goes. Thanks, Mace. Eric, let's finish it off.
Yeah, I prefer to answer this one about whether Phil Milani will be among the nominees for GQ Man of the Year, but I guess instead we'll go with this question from Matt Boyer about how great is it that the Big Ten might get two teams in the college football playoff this year. Ben Swanson, let's learn a little bit about real college football and talk about the Big Ten.
Really looking forward to answering this one. It's really good because Ohio State could win and then not play for the Big Ten title and get into the playoff. That's terrific. Really good. No, I mean, obviously you want the team that gets into that Final Four spots. Very few spots. You'd like them not to be all from the same conference. Of course, Ohio State's a great team, and particularly if they beat Michigan and still don't get into that conference championship game, then I think they're probably deserving. But, of course, you want to see some parity from the other conferences. So I'm not completely in favor of that, but I can understand that they could be two of the four best teams there.
Thanks, Swanson. Appreciate it. And thank you for sending in this video from last year. This is some gold.
It's a little bit of fun out here in the snow. Oh, what the heck? Oh, what the heck? Oh, what the heck? Oh, what the heck?
Well, Phil, I hope you've recovered from that. And keep sending in your questions, guys. Two of these this week came from our coworkers. Back to you, Phil.
Thank you very much, guys. Nice job as always. Thanks for bringing that snow video back up. But my face still kind of hurts from that last year. That's going to do it for this week's show. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, Caroline Deisley, Eric Dalala, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Lonnie, and that's been 3 and Out presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.